Those of you that aren't familiar with him, he's been supported by our church as a missionary to the Ukraine for many, many years. He has been there for 21 years, which is a long time to be overseas in any mission. He intends to continue there, and we're delighted to have him come and share with us. He's going to share with us a little bit of his ministry, as well as a little bit from the Word. So, John, if you'd come up now. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted. Working? Thank you for the introduction, and it's always a pleasure to be here with you guys. And just want to thank you for being part of the ministry with me and other staff, Sasha and Yulia, Sasha and Ira, Yerick. So thank you for being a part of how God is working in Ukraine. I want to share about Ukraine, but at the same time, I'll use some scripture as I'm sharing about how God is working in Ukraine. Okay, go to the next slide. Ukraine, it's a country of about 43, 44 million people. Geographically, it's in the heart of Ukraine, or in the heart of Europe. Most people don't think of it being in the heart of Europe, but geographically, it's in the heart of Europe. And it's a country that has suffered a lot through its history, whether it be maybe communism, famine, forced famine, genocide, war. They've suffered a lot. And one of the things people are realizing right now, without a spiritual compass in people's lives, you know, you can educate people, but without a spiritual basis, you're just going to be educating people to become criminals, help them to be smarter. And so one of the things in Ukraine, we're wanting to impact the whole society. Next one. And in Ukraine, I'm on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. In Ukraine, it's called Ukraine for Christ. And one of our goals is to help fulfill the Great Commission. So I just want to read that. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." At that passage, it's not only dear to me as a missionary, but also because at one point in time, someone shared the gospel with me, and then also someone began to build into my life to help me grow as a Christian. And so that's why that passage is very special to me. So I want to share what God's doing in Ukraine, and we'll go to the next. I work on a team. There's 5 other people on my team, all Ukrainians. I'm the only American on the team. And in the ministry, there's over 100 people and just a couple other Americans. And so one thing that's neat is how the ministry has become nationalized. All right. And I want to read to you, yes, this is me. And it's amazing what you can do with a crutch, how you can practical uses. I want to read Psalm 46. "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy places where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in an uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." I like this passage. I've always liked it, but this passage has become meaningful to me more so the last 2.5 years. Hasn't been in the news lately, but Ukraine is under a war. Russia's waging war against Ukraine. There's a revolution that took place 2.5 years ago, and then war has been going. But I like this passage because it definitely, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And, oh, you can go back. Well, one more. But this is passage very good for whether in personal times of trouble, difficulties, circumstances, or as a group of people going through difficulties. I like this passage because it talks about, in verse number 1, God is our strength and our refuge. And I also like this passage growing up here, Soldotna, Kenai Peninsula, or the Moose Refugee. And so it's like, oh, God is our refuge. And so individually, as a believer, also back in Ukraine as believers, this passage is very helpful. Just realizing, okay, when trouble does come, God is there. He's my refuge for his people, and he is my strength. And well, this picture, I had knee surgery last September, mid-September. I was in the hospital. I had it done in Ukraine. A lot of people thought I was crazy, but it's like I thought I was crazy to do it in Ukraine. But I thought, well, if Ukrainians, you know, have surgery in Ukraine, why can't I trust God to have surgery in Ukraine? And so I was in the hospital for 5 days, 4 nights. They did surgery. And afterwards, I was on crutches for 9 weeks and a cane for a week. Then I gave up the cane, then I took it back. And but this passage I really like is also later on it talks about, you know, not to fear. And because also in verses 2 and 3, talking about the earth giving way and the mountains falling in the heart of the sea. Sounds like, you know, earthquake, tsunami. And so often in our lives, you know, they can feel like things that are just falling apart. Or either individually or as a group of people, it can be things that are happening, or even as a country. And but I like this because God truly is our refuge, strength, help, whether we're going through personal difficulties or as a group of people. And like I said, it's important to realize that God is there when trouble comes. And that, see in verse 5, God is within her midst, that city of God, and she won't fail. And so I think the city of God, you know, God's people together make up that city, and he indwells us. And he wants to be that refuge for us. So I think as we realize, and also in verse 4 talks about a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And so I think as we let him be our refuge and strength, and realize that he's, you know, living in us, the Holy Spirit abiding, giving us strength, that we can experience blessing, that river that he'll bring, we can experience his blessings. And so as we understand those things, it can help us, give us the strength to individually handle problems, or also as a group of people handle problems. And before I had my knee surgery, I thought, oh, I'd stay with Sasha and Yulia Zebrov. Sasha's been here before. I thought, I'll stay with them 4 or 5 days. They were wanting me to stay with them afterwards when I'd be in crutches. And then I thought, I'll stay with another friend, Eric, the church supports, for 4 or 5 days. And then I'd go home. Well, I stayed with Sasha and Yulia for 4 weeks, and then with Yerick, 5 weeks. Finally, when I stopped using the crutches, then I went back to my own apartment. And but God was my refuge and my strength, and he used the body of Christ to encourage me. And I see that he does that here also, because when I was in the hospital, different friends brought food to me at the hospital. And then also when I was released each week, different friends would take me back to the hospital for a checkup. And then friends would also help me. One time, or a couple times at the hospital, the office is located on the 4th floor of this hospital. And a couple times the electricity went out And so the elevator stopped working. And so I'd also have friends help me walk down four flights of stairs. But God was there to give me the strength, and he would do that also through brothers and sisters in Christ. And God's help was always available. But, okay, Ted, now you can go to the next one. But this passage also became very important, you know, during this last 2.5 years in Ukraine. It says Revolution 2014, War 2015. It's when revolution started in November 2013. Believers came together to pray, but there's a lot of believers that weren't sure how to pray, knowing, well, what is God's will? Just to pray for those in authority, or how do you pray? And but then it switched from being a revolution to a war in 2014 in late February. And so with it turning into a war, it brought unity to believers. But once again, during this last 2.5 years, Christians would get together on a regular basis and realizing that only God was their refuge and strength. Is especially for the first year of maybe when the war started, 2014, the beginning of 2015, you know, people were expecting Russian troops, tanks to be in Kiev, thinking they could be there tomorrow. But yet, believers would come together in prayer, and as we would come seeking God's face, he gave us strength, because there's people, without God's strength, a person would have gone crazy not knowing what's going to happen tomorrow. His family that the church supports, Sasha and Yulia Zebrev, they're both from eastern Ukraine, and the church that they were got married in is now occupied by Russian troops, used as barracks, and they had their wedding reception in a different church, and it's also occupied by Russian troops, used as barracks. And so just once again, during the last 2 years, been a very stressful time, but yet the church has come together. And I think if it wasn't for the church, mission agencies, the government would not be able to help the Ukrainian people. It's the church that has been helping. There are about 1.3 million internally displaced people in Ukraine, and the church has taken a lot of steps to really, believers have, you know, invited people to live with them, food, try to help find work, and so, but I think they found the ability to do that because back in Psalm 46, realizing that God is our refuge and strength, he's ever-present help during times of trouble. And they were experiencing, you know, a political, social earthquake. And also many people were experiencing those earthquakes in their family situations. And so in the midst, though, of that, you know, social, economic, political earthquake, they are clinging, seeing that God is their refuge and strength. And also as they realize that God was among their midst as believers, living in us, and coming together in prayer and fellowship, experience God's blessing also. Okay, you can go to the next one, Ted. And one of the say war brings about new opportunities and new blessings. And last August, Sasha Zebrev in the Thai and his wife Yoya. Sasha's been here with me several times. He became the new country director for the ministry. And it seems that God had raised him up. And he's a good man for this position at this time, especially during a time of a crisis. So, but a year ago, and it was neat. There's pastors from Kiev, like five or six that came. We had a special time in August at our staff conference, and pastors were part of that swearing in, laying on hands. Okay, Ted. And just a picture of Sasha and his family, three boys, but in about 2 weeks they're going to have one more child, and it could be a girl. So pray for them as they welcome the fourth child, potentially a girl. All right. In Ukraine, they're about over 100 staff, and as far as Americans go, it's me, a couple. Her husband is a Ukrainian American. After they got married, he got an American passport. And then there's one other couple that works with the military ministry, and they spend half their time there in Ukraine for a month, 2 months, and back in the States, month or two with grandchildren, then back to Ukraine, then back to the States. And so, like I said, more than 100 staff and just a couple of us Americans, which is great because it's a sign that the ministry is maturing and becoming nationalized. It's led by their own. So, as a ministry, we're wanting to see movements, spiritual movements among spiritual movements where there's evangelism and discipleship, and we want to see that being taking place among families. So we have a family ministry. We want to see it also among students. We also want to see it among high school teachers, and we also want to see it among soldiers. So we have a military ministry. We also want to see it among athletes. We just started an athletic ministry, and also among professionals. We just started a ministry of young professionals. So our goal is so that every person in Ukraine, every non-Christian, would know someone who truly follows after Jesus Christ. And I brought with me, on the back table there, I have some bracelets. And on this bracelet, there's a heart, an X, a cross, and a question mark. They're really good to wear when you have short sleeves on. But after the service, you can pick up a bracelet if you'd use it for sharing the gospel. We've used this in the student ministry, and now they're also a chaplain that we're working with. He's used it some in the military. The idea is it's a great conversation piece. You can ask someone, what do you think these symbols mean? And just 2 weeks ago at a store, the clerk asked me, what's your bracelet mean? I thought, wow, they're asking me. And so I told her, well, the heart means that God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. And when you explain these symbols, you can go into as much detail as you want, or they're just a conversation starter, which can help you get into a deeper conversation whenever that would be appropriate. And so you can, keep it as short or as much as you want, but you can say, oh, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life. Then the X, that we're sinful. All of us have sin, born in sin. And because of that, we're separated from God. We can't experience his love and forgiveness. And then the third is a cross. And so you can just share that because God loves you, he wants you to be able to experience that love and forgiveness. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And then the question mark, what are you going to do with that information that you have? And so, as I said, they're a great tool for starting evangelistic conversations. And there's some in the back. There's a Ukrainian flag and also some prayer cards and also ribbons. So, but these are great for conversations to be able to share the gospel. And so, as I said, our goal in Ukraine is so that every person would know someone who truly follows after Jesus Christ. And so we're focusing on students, high school teachers, also the military, families, young professionals, sportsmen, and also training, equipping people in local churches so they can reach out. Okay, Ted, you can go there. And I want to just highlight a couple of the areas where we're working. One is with teachers. And we've been working with teachers for a long time. But because of the war, I think God has given us even more opportunities. A guy here is Yerrick. He also one of the missionaries the church supports, and he helps give leadership to this. It's called Crossroads Ministry of the Teachers. And just about a month and a half ago, he was talking with the officials for the Ministry of Education officials in Kiev about having a conference for teachers, because there's a program. They train teachers how to use a curriculum, showing that Jesus is a model for character. So Ukraine has a high rate of AIDS, especially among young people. It's mainly from sharing needles and drugs. And so the school systems have realized that they need something. And they realize that the program that we offer is biblically based, and showing that Jesus is role model to follow, and not only to follow but have a relationship with him, is something that the Ministry of Education has told their teachers that they could use if they'd like. And so recently Yerrick was talking with the Ministry of Education planning the conference, and they said, oh, you could use this building here, a very nice building, conference hall. And then Yerrick asked, oh, how much would it cost? And they said, it's free. And which in the past, it hasn't been free. And so and also for this program, the Ministry of Education just renewed the accreditation for another 5 years. And so working with teachers in several cities, and they're being trained. And then after they go through the training, if they'd like to be involved in a Bible study, and then one of the local teachers will follow up with that Bible study. And but just incredible how God has opened up opportunities, you know, throughout the country. And I think probably the difficult situation of war is opening up more of those opportunities. Okay. And when we're training the teachers how to use this curriculum, the Jesus film is part of it. So the teachers watch the Jesus film, and then they're also given the opportunity to show the Jesus film to the students. Often people ask, does it still work? People still respond. People are still hungry to know it's Jesus. And then another area, as I mentioned, we're working with students. And so I'm involved in the student ministry. And this picture here is of one of our teams in southern Ukraine. There's a couple that head up volunteers for us. He's a pastor and also became a chaplain. His wife heads up the student ministry work. And but in their city, they also have a lot of Chinese students. Maybe 30. There's a shipbuilding institute. Students come study at it, and several of them have come to Christ, and then they want to share the faith with other Chinese students, and those that have come to faith also want to go back home, and they're desiring to share the faith and teach the Bible back home. And And just a picture of Lily. She's our leader, the pastor's wife. And she and a student just sharing the gospel with a Chinese student. Okay, go to the next one. And this picture here, his name is Yasha, I'm standing with. He's a student, lives in the dorm in a small city. And I began to work with him last August. And he asked me if I'd be his mentor. And I willingly, enthusiastically said yes. But then after I said yes, I also began to realize, well, how do I connect with this guy? You know, it was going to be over the phone, but it didn't seem like I really knew how to find common language with him. So I began to pray. And began to pray a lot. God, show me how I can have common bond with him. And God showed me that this student has a love for Bible study, loves to study the Bible. And so when I call him, once a week I'd call him, we'd talk. And so we'd talk about, I'd share what I'd been reading in the Bible. And then I'd share not only what I was reading, but what God was teaching me as I was reading the Bible. And then he'd share what he was reading. And he would also share, you know, what God was teaching him. And we'd share prayer requests and pray over the phone. and also talk about how it's going in the student ministry. But I was so thankful because God answered that prayer, how I could reach and touch his heart. But last fall, it was very difficult for him to be part of the student ministry because he had shared his desire with other students and no one wanted to be involved with him. And but this winter, he came to our winter Bible conference, which we had is in northeastern Ukraine. He came to it, and another student came with him. And after the conference, he went back home and shared with students what God taught him there, shared with students his vision. He'd gotten about seven students together, and he also challenged them to use this bracelet, share the gospel with five people during the week. And it turned out they couldn't meet. They met 2 days later. So he said, all right, share with seven people. He added two more people. And so when they got together, everyone had shared the gospel with seven people. And also, you know, they caught his vision that God had given him for student ministry. And so they've been meeting together. He will, he loves to teach the Bible with them. He'll share the Bible. And also he's been helping some new believers grow in the faith. We have materials that will help young people. And he's very serious. As I was talking to him one time, when I was talking to him in maybe late February or March, he told me, oh, John, I became a green Christian. I thought, what's that? And it turned out green is a color of material that we're using for new believers. And so he's going through it. And then another time he told me, oh, John, there's a guy that became a Christian. Well, actually, he became a Christian a month and a half ago. But I didn't want to say anything until I knew for sure that he had become a Christian. And so, but it's so neat. And you can pray for Yasha. He's going to, for the first time, go to our summer project, which will be in, it'll start July 4th. And it's a big step of faith for him to go. It was a big step of faith for him to go to our winter Bible conference. So he wants to see others come with him, and if they don't, then he gets discouraged or frustrated. Or he also wants, when he thinks about the finances to pay for the conference, it's overwhelming. But God is building in him more steps of faith. And so you could just pray for him that the summer project would be life-changing. His name is Yasha. Okay. All right, Ted, you can go. And this picture here was taken at our winter Bible conference this February. It was in northeastern Ukraine. And in this city, Kharkiv, every day since the revolution started, so 2.5 years ago, they've been meeting in the city square for a prayer. And so when we were there, we also, our students went there every day during the prayer time. And the people are still meeting there for prayer. But I also like this picture. See where there's a Ukrainian flag. And in the past, instead of the flag, there was a statue of the Lenin. And in the last 2 years, the country is, I'm going to say, trying to change the course of its future, maybe by removing some of the symbols of the past. And a lot of the monuments to Lenin have somehow fallen down, or being torn. They've been torn down during the last 2 years. And there's still more that they're wanting to come down, but they're trying to change the communist history and the renaming a lot of the cities, getting rid of the communist names. And but hopefully they'll realize that the change for the future, not just getting rid of symbols, but change in the heart through Jesus Christ. And I think they're understanding that because we had a some evangelistic English clubs, well, actually several, but this last late February, March, we had several evangelistic English clubs, and our volunteers, one of them, Lily, the pastor's wife, she had went to the university in Nikolai and told them what they wanted to do, and said there's going to be a 3-hour English club for 5 days, and also said that 1 hour during that 3 hours would be for Bible discussion time. And the university said, that's fine. We'll give you the rooms. We'll give you video projectors. And the group in Nikolaev, they're going to have students pay just about $2. And the university said, and we'll pay for students. And the university, they're wanting to have more of those English clubs. So sometime, group of you come over or just individually. And you don't have to be able to teach English, just be able to talk. Love God and love people. Okay, Ted. And then also we've been, because of the war, God has given us the opportunity to start a military ministry. And this guy, Roman, he had come on staff 2 years ago. And after he got his support raise, he was immediately drafted into the Army. But God used that to also help us have an impact with officers and soldiers. We were able to send him, or we got him an electronic tablet with the Jesus film and other Christian films during the downtimes of the battle. Soldiers need to do something, and so better to let them watch something good. And but he would also have Bible studies with his soldiers. He would read the Bible with them. And as a ministry, we raised up money to send him night vision goggles and even a bulletproof vest. And we got thermos mugs for all of his soldiers, sent New Testaments and coffee and tea, many things. And his soldiers, well, he won their respect, and they would listen to him. And there were some that were twice his age and some younger than him. So, and then also the guy they said this is a pastor. He became a volunteer chaplain, and so he's been going to the front for about 3 weeks at a time. And so just a picture of the soldiers watching Jesus film on the tablet that we got him. And so, and okay. And also with the soldiers, we've used a lot of, given not only soldiers, but students these ribbons. They're also in the back to say, pray for Ukraine. They're in Ukrainian, top language, and then English. There's a few that are Ukrainian and Russian, but we've used this ribbon not only to encourage Christians, but we've used this ribbon as a for evangelism purposes. But there's enough back there, you guys can take them so you can pray for Ukraine in the ministry. But we've used this evangelistically, just hand them out to people. Is during the last 2 years, like here in Psalm 46, the earth has been giving way. Mounds have been falling into the sea for people. And so very open spiritually. And so we've been giving these to people, ask them, you know, giving them and saying, you know, what has helped you the last 2 years? And then we'd listen to them, and then we could opportunity to share our testimony, how Christ has helped us. Okay. And then the last 2 years, as I mentioned earlier, there's 1.3 million internally displaced people in Ukraine, Ukrainians, because of the war. And so for the last 2 years, at Summer Projects or at our Winter Bible Conference, we always have a time of outreach. We go sharing the gospel. And so for the last 2 years, we've put together a package of food, and we've gone to local authorities. Will give us the addresses and phone numbers of refugees. And sometimes we'll just focus on the refugee students, others the families. And this last winter, universities gave us the addresses and phone numbers of the refugee students, and they were waiting for us to come. So I was so excited to think, okay, there's a student with a bag of food, four spiritual laws, bracelet, and they were going to talk with other students, and these students were waiting. And we had volunteers from a local church that had talked to the universities ahead of time, and we're hearing how one university official at it said, you know, we need your help. We need more help from you because these students are asking us questions that we don't know how to answer. It's like I said, this war has created opportunities that God would not have brought about otherwise. And so I think, once again, where it talks about there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. God is, as believers have come together, trusted him, He is pouring out his blessing. And then let me say one more thing about the military. In Nikolaev, a city in southern Ukraine, we also had an evangelistic English club for 1 week. And the officer who said okay, he also knew that there would be a one-hour Bible discussion time. And at first, organizers of the club, they weren't quite sure what to do. But then they realized that, you know, military officers, they're people too. And they had a great time. And since then, the officers have said, we want another English club, and you can continue using the Bible in the English club. So, and one other ministry, as I mentioned, is with young professionals. And Sasha here on your second to the right, he's been involved in that also. There's a lot of students who were involved in the student movement, and now they've graduated into professionals, and so God has given us opportunities to reach out into the professional world working with these guys. All right. And then these are Sasha's three boys. That picture just makes me think about the future of Ukraine, how it takes a generation or two for things to change in the country. And but these boys, they love Jesus also. And just so Ted said, I've been there for 21 years. And so thankful that God has allowed me to be there so long, because I've gotten to be there instead of like seeing little snapshots like this, but to be there for the whole movie of how God is working. And Sasha grew up in a non-Christian family. Yui also in a non-Christian family. And so I've gotten to see how God has brought together, you know, non-Christians at the university. They become Christians. They've gotten married. Now they're having children. And now many of them are also impacting their parents. And obviously, laborers are few everywhere. The harvest was plentiful, whether it's here, Soldotna, Kenai Peninsula, or Ukraine. Harvest is plentiful, workers are few. So I ask that you continue to pray for us. Another prayer request, as I mentioned, Sasha and Yulia, they're going to have a baby in about 2 weeks. So you can pray that you know, birth would go well, and also just adjusting to having four children, and it would go well for them. So you can pray for that. And then also, as I mentioned, Sasha, he's been the national country director for 1 year. And you could pray for him as he continues to give direction during this time. In August, we'll have a week-long staff conference where the minister will be celebrating 25 years in Ukraine. And so pray for that. And then also in July 4th, we'll have a summer camp for students. It'll go for 10 days, and there'll be Christians and non-Christians at that camp, and so you can just pray that that would go well, and that Yasha and his friends would come, so you can pray for that. And then also, as Ted mentioned, I've been in Ukraine for 21 years, I've been on staff for 30, and you can pray for me, as I'm taking a step. I believe that God is calling me to buy an apartment in Ukraine. So I've already been there 21 years. And because of the war, like I said, God is creating opportunities to buy apartments. Their price have gone down a lot. And so God is leading me to that step in my life. So you can pray for me. It's wisdom and the finances to do that. But when we're singing worship songs this morning, I also thought of Matthew 11:28. You know, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Just as I listen to the different prayer requests and, you know, Psalm 46. But I want to thank you very much for being part of the ministry with us. And just appreciate, love you guys, and thank you for being part of the team with us in Ukraine. And don't forget to take a bracelet, a prayer ribbon, or also take a prayer card back there. So,
can you hear me? Okay. Thank you for coming. Mm-hmm. We've been in Matthew for a while, if you recall. One of the things that we've said over and over when you look at the book of Matthew is Part of our responsibility is to show the world the Father. To show the world the Father. I'm getting it up there closer, okay? So we thank you for doing that and coming to share. We all have that responsibility wherever we are, right? It doesn't matter whether we stay here. We don't want to be like the children of Israel who forgot that they were to show the world the Father and just kept it to themselves. Okay, if we do that, we failed with the main point that God was trying to give us. So thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
Have a good day, you guys.